Life And is a podcast brought to you by Scranton Fringe, made possible by the Luzerne County Medical Society in partnership with Park Multimedia. Hello, listeners. My name is Tinye Verkaitis, and welcome to another episode of Life And. This podcast has one goal: to document and celebrate the strange phenomenon we call the human experience by sharing the true stories of others. This season of our podcast, we turn our focus onto the theme of life and home. It is our hope that by hearing these true stories, we can work towards creating supportive communities and realize selves. Thank you, dear listener, for making time for the stories of others. This is Life and Home. For this episode of Life And, we welcome Alicia Grega to our studio. Alicia Grega is a published poet and award-winning playwright, theatrical artist, performance coach, and educator. She is a member of the Dramatists Guild of America and the Lackawanna County Council on Arts, Culture, and Education. She holds a bachelor's degree in theater arts from Drew University and an MFA in writing for screen and stage from Point Park University, and has received grants from the Pennsylvania Humanities Council, Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, and an NEA Arts Journalism Institute Fellowship.
It's just a dream, a vision, this place I've long imagined living out the final years of my life. A storybook stone cottage on a quiet lake in the mountains, not as flashy as it is functional, but still luxurious in the way that comfort is a luxury, in the way that ample cabinets and counter space are a fantasy, in the way that healthy food and art are considered extra rather than essential in America. I picture the place as a palace of self-care, engineered to support healing and creation. I've never been under the delusion my dream home might actually be realized. It's like those inflated goals they set in the workplace. No one actually reaches them, but we achieve a little more just for striving, for trying to rise above the mediocre medium. There are worse fates than mediocrity. Compromise is coping, adapting, deciding where to direct your energy, because diffused, diluted, it loses power. Rather than stew in dissatisfaction, always wanting a little more than I'll ever get, I've studied the Dharma, how to be happy in this life as it really is, not as I would have it. It will be enough if I can manage to sustain myself, pay my own way as long as I can, and if, when, we find that I can't, there's no shame in letting others help. But I don't want to talk about reality today. It's not that I don't want to tell the truth. I've already written about the Thanksgiving Day eviction of 2002. It's a tender spot, 25 moves in 30 years. There's only been two in the last 20, if that tells us anything. There's a time and a place for the past, and if retirement allows, I will write all the pages. Wouldn't you rather take a tour of the potential? Follow me down a landscaped path under a canopy of leafy vines that grow back every summer. Surrounding the house are my favorite plants from all the places I've lived, layered here as if sketched on sheets of translucent vellum. The fuchsias from San Mateo, Kajaw's willows and wild blueberries, the rhubarb that grew under the steps in Northampton, Pocono ferns and rhododendrons and bright orange tiger lilies, Jackson Street's magnolia, wild strawberries, forget-me-nots, and honeysuckle. Beyond a wide, welcoming wooden front door, there is a place to put your shoes, socks and slippers for cold feet. Hang your coat. Stay a while. A spacious kitchen surrounds an island counter large enough for us all to cook together, celebrate friends with pierogi parties and book club gatherings. The architect knew this is where the best conversations happen. The open shelves are stocked with cookbooks, jars of dried herbs in teas, bottles of oils and vinegars, a spice rack organized in a rainbow of color. A glass door leads out to the culinary garden and small greenhouse where we grow herbs and vegetables three seasons of the year. Here is a cozy patio to commiserate over tea. There is a crafting nook stocked with DIY supplies. It's downright witchy, with homemade salves, creams, butters, and balms, aromatherapy remedies. Below, a basement for wine racks, a chest freezer. We grow our own mushrooms. Upstairs, there is a dressing room connected to the bedroom. Nothing fancy here. Queen-size bed, reading nook, and meditation cushion. Deep jacuzzi tub in the bathroom for therapeutic soaks. A guest room or two on the first floor next to the library slash office so both my girls can stay. Perhaps a nursery for the children they told me they don't want to have. This is the first time I've imagined anyone else in the house. It's not that I want to live alone. I just got so used to no one telling me what to do. An empty nest's not so bad once you get used to it. Well, technically, Dad's upstairs. I never would have imagined after my parents' divorce when I was 3 that I would live with my dad again. Until I was 17, I didn't think I'd ever see him again. My sister lives 5 minutes away. My boyfriend's even closer. Fuji Cat is my familiar. But that's the present. And we were talking about the future. Most days will be quiet. My home will be peaceful. There will be sound, subtle speakers strategically placed so I can walk from one room to the next and not miss a word of the podcast. In my house, you are encouraged to sing. You can dance if you want to. The living room is large enough for small gatherings with floor-to-ceiling windows overlooking the woods and water, lots of carpets and pillows and blankets, and a cat, of course. Off to the side, musical instruments and a corridor that leads to the fitness room. Beyond yoga, cycling, dancing, and weight training, this is where we hold rehearsals. There's got to be an east-facing window where I can watch the sunrise most days. This is where I'll drink my coffee before sitting down to work. Retirement, I've always thought, is when the real work will begin. At 51, I've already accumulated a lifetime of evidence, photos and videos, documents to be organized and sorted. There's sense to be made of random scraps and scrawling. If I were to perish now, my daughters would hate me for the mess I'd be leaving behind. There are journals dating back to 7th grade, college coursework, and 15 years worth of Electric City newspapers, theater programs, and event souvenirs. There aren't enough shelves for all my books, and I've got clothes for every occasion in sizes 6 through 14. Artwork hangs in every room, and that's just the good stuff. I should have a yard sale, but I fear the haggling. Strangers can't see the value of our memories. I hesitate to put a price tag on my life's experience. Mom has begun giving things away. At 72, she's got more than a few years left to live, but she's tired of the stuff that's accumulated. And so, the 3-foot-high brass candlesticks from Thailand she and my father bought before I was born will be mine as soon as I get down there to pick them up. She said they need to be polished. Dad said he'll help. Shh, don't tell. There are pictures to pass on. Nana's china, Aunt Dot's silverware. Once, home was the 9-foot brown leather sofa where my sister and I slept in the back of Ryder truck when we left California in 1979. Kudos to Mom for getting that beast up the stairs in Northampton and later into the house in Madisonville. It's gone now, but this memory reinforces the bond. Home is where my sister is. There's a version of the dream that Stacy and I share. She calls it the property. There's room for everyone there. A farm and cafe where we serve homemade bread and soup, salads, dessert and tea, whatever we can grow, a gift shop to sell whatever we can make. There is, like Dan and Jenny's Wonder Barn, a stage for performances. But this is Stacy's vision too. And I cannot recall all of the exquisite details she's designed. You should ask her sometime when you see her. I'm sure she'd love to share.
Thank you, Alicia, for sharing your dream space. I would love to think I'd be invited, and I damn sure would like to create a space like that of my own. There was a couple of things that you said during the story. I love the fact that you were talking about space for everyone in the kitchen, and you kept using the word we, and I was thinking, who is the mysterious we, but then you went back to say that you always thought of your retirement as being alone. So I wondered when that change happened, the fact that you were writing in we, but then you had this memory of thinking that that would be a space where you'd be alone.
I don't know how to answer that. I think that I want to make room in my life for other people always, whether or not they're actually there day by day, moment to moment is another question. I do like the peace of being in my house by myself now. I didn't, because that never happened. I never lived alone until I was old. Not that I'm old, but until recently, right? Francis moved out 2021. There was always someone there, and now there's not, and it's kind of nice. So, but I other people are obviously where it's at.
Right. You're obviously creating a welcoming space for other people.
Right.
And then you do talk about your children being there and potential non-existent grandchildren.
I just refuse to believe that it won't happen.
I get it.
No birth control is that good.
So you also talk about taking a tour of the potential, and I like the idea of what this can be. And also in relationship to when you said that you've studied the Dharma, how to be happy. And I'm wondering where the Dharma fits into that potential of what life can be. And do you feel that the studying of the Dharma has been working?
Yes. So for example, I have a lot of plants already, maybe not the landscape that I'm describing here, but I have them and I water them and I care for them, and I do it in a mindful way where I'm thinking about what it means to be alive and grow and soak in the sun and keep it simple.
Yeah, I like that you brought up the plants, because I found it very interesting that you talked about plants before possessions in building your space, and that it kind of documents a history of where you've been through plant life rather than possessions, because most people create their history through objects, not plants. And I wondered why plants were the first thing that came to mind.
I think because they've been a goal of mine for a long time and not something that I wasn't able to keep them alive. I've had plants that I've loved and lost. And I think during the pandemic, I kind of had more time to spend at home, and I got a hang of where to put them and where the sun was good and how to make that an important part of my space. And I think there's something in even just the oxygen that plants add to the room that help me.
Yeah, but they could also sort of be a part of the collective we, because they are living things.
Yes, I do feel that life energy from them.
One of the other things I appreciated was the fact that you talk about color a lot. Even in describing the spice rack, you say it's organized in a rainbow of color, but then you have this idea of DIY space to create. So it's this bringing art into the living fabric of your home. And I was just wondering if you could share what art means to you, because you talk about it quite a few times.
Art is the potential. Art is how we make sense of life. And I love that I have other people's artwork, and there's a story behind each piece and a person behind each piece that felt something when they were making it they gave to me, but I mean, I bought some of them, but still, that is in it. I think there's a spirit in that artwork, and it reminds me to be creative and imagine things through other people's eyes.
So you talk about your accumulation of lifetime evidence, there's the pieces that are the artwork and the photos, etc. But then you also talk about the journals dating back to seventh grade, college coursework, and 15 years worth of Electric City newspapers. These are the items that your children would hate you for, which I can agree. How do you feel that you're going to eventually dispose of those things, and what part of the evidence do you keep to pass down?
A lot of it I've already done something with and I don't even know it. That can be thrown out. Some of it needs to be donated to the Historical Society, because I think that there's a lot of art memorabilia from the local area that I would like to be preserved somehow for whoever comes after us. There are things I don't remember, which I will need to decide if I want to remember or not.
I get that.
If not, get rid of it. Miranda is an artist, my oldest daughter, and so I don't know what she might want yet. She might have some idea for turning things into something else. So I'll give her that option, but hopefully I'll get to go through it before they get to it.
And when you think about your mother starting to get rid of her stuff, does that inspire you at all? And are there particular objects besides the candlesticks that you think you'd like to bring into your new potential home?
I told her, don't throw away the photos and anything that's like old that belonged to my grandmother or her mother or my great aunt. That stuff we want to keep. Everything else, I don't really, she can do whatever she wants with it.
And you speak a lot about woods and water, and I couldn't help but wonder if you have a particular location in mind.
Yes, there's a piece I actually didn't put in here because I wasn't sure that's where I wanted to go. But it used to be Lake Kajaw, which is in Honesdale, which my aunt actually owns that property now. My mom used to own it, and it was sort of teased at one point of time, oh, come back east, Alicia. You can have the lake. And I think that's when I started to imagine this place that would be there. But then it really wasn't my mom's to give away, because my stepfather didn't think we were responsible, and he was probably right. I don't know. At that time, we were pretty young.
I love the idea of going back to this historical location that also is part of the evidence of your life. When you think about what you leave behind, what do you think is the most important part of your evidence that you'd like to share?
Just good memories. I hope people will have things, moments, that time that we spent together, things that we did together, experiences, memories, you know, of some day where good things happened and we were in the moment and appreciated being alive. I hope that I will leave those in people's brains.
Well, the fact that you're creating this space for all, it's obviously a place to create memories, but I think you can do that whether you're in this potential space or the one you're in now. Dear listener, we are grateful for your continued support as we present season 4 of Life And. We're excited to bring you more stories, interviews, and insights into the human experience. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we encourage you to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Do you have a great story to share? If you'd like to join us as a storyteller for a future season and to learn more about our team, please visit lifeandstorytellers.com. That's www.lifeandstorytellers.com. Until next time, remember to breathe and to make time for stories, yours and others.